Donna Myers and the Dairy Woman of the Year, and congratulations. This is a high honor. You're in quite some company here.
I am. I've been about 30 women that have been dishonored, and a lot of them are my friends and distinguished people, and so I'm a little humbled to be in their company, but it's wonderful.
Talk a bit about the farm.
I live in New Windsor, Maryland. It's a 150-acre registered Holstein red and white farm. I farm with my husband and my oldest daughter. Milk about 55 cows, and we grow all the feed for our animals.
All right. What kind of herd average on?
We're running about a 23,000-24,000 herd average.
How long have you been in the red and whites?
Probably about 14 years, and actually we're probably milking about 10 of them, and they all, except for one, go back to a foundation cow that actually my dad and I, he was a Guernsey farmer, so he and I went out and bought a little baby calf at Chris Hill's first March Madness sale, and everything goes back to her, and she actually has three descendants showing out here today.
Oh, really? That's going to be quite the honor.
Two daughters and a great-granddaughter out here, so we've had a lot of fun with her.
So how far have you had cattle gone out around the world?
Because of the size of our operation, we've had to diversify a little bit. So we went into, and my husband's always been into breeding cattle, so we sell a lot of genetics. We sell a lot of embryos and bulls, as well as live animals. And actually, we've sold embryos, I think, on like four different continents. So it's been another aspect to our business that's a lot of fun. We've met people from all over the world.
Now, the red and white breed is still really growing, isn't it? It's expanding. You got in on the ground floor, really.
Pretty much we did. Actually, a neighbor of ours, our next-door neighbor, is a gentleman named Gary Durr, and he was ahead of his time. He had Durwin Holsteins, and a lot of these foundation red and whites go back to his herd, and unfortunately, he died in his 40s of cancer, so he didn't really get to reap the benefits of what he started. But he was a great mentor to us, and so it's a breed that keeps going. There are a few people that have really helped the breed along as far as being interested in buying cattle and making that breed worth, you know, some money. And so it's been fun.
I think everybody aspires to be able to market internationally, but how do you go about it? How do you get into that arena?
Luck. It's a lot of luck. And it's right now it's a numbers game with the genomics, and it's, you know, the numbers, putting high numbers on high numbers and hoping to get a high number heifer, but maybe 5 years ago it was cow families, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was stacking those generations of excellence on, so the market's changed a little bit, like our market tends to do, and it'll come. We're way out on that genomic wing right now, but I think it'll swing back and maybe get back into more cow families. But it is a lot of luck, and just putting the right, some cows or cows and bulls niche better, and just being lucky enough to figure out what that is. And
it is a trend-based business, though, isn't it?
It is very much a trend-based business, yes. And it's fun to play. I mean, you can play this market out here showing, or you can try to play the index or the genomic game. You can do whatever you want to do, and it's just what you enjoy doing.
Do you show quite a bit?
We do on the state level, we do, and we've brought cattle out here to Madison. A lot of cattle we end up selling, and we have four animals out here today with our prefix that'll be showing.
So what's the future for the farm?
Wow. My husband calls this a terminal dairy. We'll keep going for a while, I think, whether my daughter will want to continue it or not. It remains to be seen, but we've enjoyed it. It's been good to us, and we'll just see what the future holds.
How's dairying in Maryland?
Dairying in Maryland is dairying with a lot of environmentalists because of the Chesapeake
Bay. I was going to say you're in the watershed, aren't you?
Oh, yes, we are in the watershed. So we are very regulated, which I'm sure everybody across this country, depending on your area, you have your own hoops you have to jump through. And right now it is manure management and water runoff and that type of thing. So we just, we can only spread manure at certain times of the year. And so it's interesting. It's always a challenge.
One thing we've talked about, and the same thing with the Kepkes here, is they're in urban areas where there's a large population base. And putting that good face on dairying is really important, especially in your locations, isn't it?
Oh, I think in any location. I think you need to, we show a lot, and I'm on the board of directors for Maryland State Fair, and I try to tell the exhibitors that, this is the face. This is what exhibitors or the people that come here, the people that aren't that involved in agriculture are going to see. So you have to put a good face on because, you know, we want to project a positive image, and we want to present our animals and as well taken care of as we do, because we get a lot of bad press. So this is at a fair is our opportunity that we can show people just what good caretakers we are.
Any words of advice to the young producer out there who's up to their armpits in the manure pit right now?
Thank you to all of them. I don't think it's a very labor-intensive business. People work very, very hard, and it's a tough business, particularly if they're young and they don't have a family base that are helping usher them in. If they're trying on their own, it's a tough road, and they're wonderful people, and they just, you know, continue to work hard. And I think people need to know they're appreciated, too, because farmers work very, very hard.